Ezra chapter 1. Thank you for being in the church tonight. Thank God for the good Holy Ghost singing. Right in the midst of all the turmoil and trouble, I'm glad I'm saved. I'm more glad tonight than I've ever been. Now, in the first year of Cyrus, king of Persia, that the word of the Lord by the mouth of Jeremiah might be fulfilled, the Lord stirred up the spirit of Cyrus, king of Persia, that he made a proclamation throughout all his kingdom and put it also in writing, saying, "Thus saith Cyrus, king of Persia, the Lord God of heaven hath given me all the kingdoms of the earth, and he hath charged me to build him an house at Jerusalem, which is in Judah. Who is there among you of all his people? His God be with him. And let him go up to Jerusalem, which is in Judah, and build the house of the Lord God of Israel. He is the God which is in Jerusalem. And whoso remaineth in any place where he sojourneth, let the men of this place help him, and with silver and with gold and with goods and with beasts beside the freewill offering for the house of God that's in Jerusalem." And then Nehemiah chapter 1. The words of Nehemiah, the son of Hakaliah. "And it came to pass in the month of Cheslu, in the 20th year, as I was in Shushan the palace, that Hanani, one of my brethren, came, he and certain men of Judah, and asked them concerning the Jews that had escaped, which were left of the captivity, and concerning Jerusalem. And they said unto me, the remnant that are left of the captivity there in the province are in great affliction and reproach. The wall of Jerusalem also is broken down, and the gates thereof are burned with fire. And it came to pass when I heard these words that I sat down and wept and mourned certain days, and fasted and prayed before the God of heaven. And said, I beseech thee, O Lord, God of heaven, the great and terrible God, that keepeth covenant and mercy for them that love him and observe his commandments, let thine ear now be attentive and thine eyes open, that thou mayest hear the prayer of thy servant, which I pray before thee now day and night for the children of Israel, thy servants, and confess the sins of the children of Israel, which we've sinned against thee. Both I and my father's house have sinned. We've dealt very corruptly against thee, and have not kept the commandments, nor the statutes, nor the judgments, which thou commandest thy servant Moses. Remember, I beseech thee, the word that thou commandest thy servant Moses, saying, if you transgress, I'll scatter you abroad among the nations. But if you turn unto me and keep my commandments and do them, though there were of you cast out unto the uttermost part of the heaven, yet will I gather them from thence and will bring them into the place that I have chosen to set my name there. Now these are thy servants and thy people whom thou hast redeemed by thy great power and thy strong hand. O Lord, I beseech thee, let now thine ear be attentive to the prayer of thy servant and to the prayer of thy servants who desire to fear thy name and prosper. I pray thee, thy servant, this day, and grant him mercy in the sight of this man, for I was the king's cupbearer." I want to preach tonight, if God had hit me for a little while, on "We Can Go Back." And I think there's nobody here tonight that but what understands, at least in part, the mess we're in tonight. And there's a cause for it. And I want to deal just a little with that, but I'm mainly concerned about being captive to the devil and his ways, and being a captive to modernism and liberalism spiritually. The reason America's where we are tonight is not because of the power of another country or because the Democrats or the Republicans did wrong. It's that people did evil in the sight of God that know God. And the wrong is not laid at the political door, but at the religious door tonight. And I'm sorry for all of that. But worse than all of that, America's gone down the drain. As far as I'm concerned, there's no hope and no help for America. It's over as far as I'm concerned for America. I see no hope absolutely, but things getting worse and worse. I can see signs now that I've never seen before that we are certainly coming under tribulation on the people of God. Make no difference what you believe. I'm not interested in all of that. I'm just telling you we're in for trouble. But worse than all of that, down at the house of God, I see a wandering and a straying away from what we know is right. Israel had did evil in the sight of the Lord, and God had given them up to captivity and prophesied that they'd be in captivity 70 years. And these 70 years now in the reading that I read to you tonight is coming to an end. And there's an opportunity for the Israelites to go back to Bethlehem, Judea again and make a new start. But there's a whole lot of folks there that can't go back because they've never been there. You can't go somewhere again that you haven't been. And these Israelites now have a desire, and I read in your hearing the prayer of the upfront people, of the people of Israel, begin to pray and beg God to hear them concerning the days and the glory of yesteryear. They remembered, a few of them did. They've been gone now 70 years. And a few of them can remember the glory of how it was before they turned away from God. But there's some of them here that don't know. They have no understanding. And I can't blame them because they don't know. They don't know, but what they are now is better than what it used to be. I'm going to tell you tonight, there's a few of us here that remember how it was in the old days. There's some that don't remember and have no idea what it is like in the days of glory when the power of God rang over these hills and hollers and God's people came together in worship and power, and we saw souls saved by the dozens and hundreds and go through the baptismal pool and live a victorious shout and glory life. Thank God we can go back. We don't have to live in coldness and in a backsliding condition. Now, I love you all, but I'll preach. You've got to hit me to your hearts. I'm so tired of hearing what old Aunt Susie used to do, and Uncle Tom, and old Brother Charlie, and Brother Jessup. I know there's good, and I know there's right, but when they died, God didn't die. He's still alive, Brother Thrasher. And he's got a desire to see his wayward people come home. But there's a lot of folk don't know what going back means. And a sad thing about it is, got nobody to show them. I get among people all over this part of the country. They want to do, but they don't know how. They try to have revival and show the Spirit, but they don't know how. That nobody's ever showed them. There's no old saints that quit shouting. I'll tell you, we're in the show business. I'm doing what I'm doing tonight for show. The Bible said, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify the Father that's in heaven. I want my grandchildren to see Grandpa's child. I want my grandchildren to be in the service where God's people are rejoicing in the holy power of God. I'm homesick for the good times in the house of God. And it's a shame on us that know that they don't know. I look around. I don't know how many churches I know that in 10 years there will hardly be anybody around the way it looks now about all there's old folk. And I'm going to tell you what we can do. We can let it die with us. Or we can put on such a show for God that they'll know what we got. But there's a few requirements now if you're going to go back. First of all, they had to volunteer. They had to want to go back. And I'm going to tell you, I'm a chicken eater. You go with me, thank God you go with me to eat chicken and you'll get to want to eat some. I love it. And I'm going to tell you what, I eat it. And if I love God, you're going to know it. Thank God every once in a while, I'm going to shake loose from the moorings of this world and have me an old-time Holy Ghost spit for the glory of God. Oh, yes. Woo! Hallelujah! That this world will know it ain't foreign and fashion. It's the power of God. It's not coming to church and seeing how many you can pack a pew and ride ponies around. Thank God, give away airplane rides. I'll tell you what, it's the old-time power of God that did it back in the days of Bethlehem, Judah, and it's still available today. Woo! I don't have to wait for some team from Howells Anderson College to come down and show me how to have revival. I'll pray out on the hillside and have a revival by myself. Bless his name. I'm about to have me a fit. Bless him, name. We've been hanging around in captivity too long. The walls of Jerusalem have been torn down. And the glory's gone. And I'm tired of it. And I remember how it was before we fell into the ditch and into the trap and lost what God gave us in our heart. I ain't be here all week, nothing happens. I'm going to see if I can get y'all to go back with me. There's some of you here been in more than I've been in, but you ain't enjoying it more than I have. Thank God. Some of us think if we holler a little on Sunday, we've reached the summit. Shame on us. Us Baptist folk got scared to death they're going to call us holiness. If we get plumb out, get the dancing in the house, thank God. Like old brother Jimmy did last year, it's still in, thank God. We've got the right, we've got the God in our heart that does shout folk in the Holy Ghost. If we'll give up to it and not be ashamed, amen. Whoop, whoop, hallelujah. I said it's still in. I'm a weeping for the glory that once was. For the old time God of heaven to visit and God's people respond. Now before they could go back in glory, their name had to be on the roll. All you have to do is read in here. You can't shout if your name's not on the roll.
Amen.
There's a lot of folks went with them, I guess. But there wasn't not very many of them knowed what was they left over yonder in Bethlehem, too. And my name's on the roll.
Amen.
And I got a right to get to the throne room any time I want to. I didn't say I did every time I go, but I got the right to. And if I pay the price, God will give me what I'm looking for.
Amen.
Y'all believe that, Ben?
Yes,
now, I remember some things from years gone by. I was reared now. I appreciate this old-time Holy Ghost more than a lot of you. I wasn't raised in it. I was raised in a liberal church. And God brought me out of that. You think about that. And I knew in my heart that I was missing something. And my daddy was a good man. He said God called him to pray. And I can't find that in the book, but if you'd have heard him pray, you'd be looking for it. And I asked him out on the hillside of hunting. I was a crying. He was a deacon in that liberal church. And I was enjoying the things of God. And I said, Daddy, don't you ever get the urge to get where you can get a hold of the Holy Ghost. And he wept and said, yes, but I've stayed where I'm at to try to help people. I'm going to tell you, that sounds good, but it ain't going to do your youngins and your grandyoungins any good. Thank God, know where you ought to be and get there. If you've got to travel 150 miles every Sunday, get in. If your heart's right, God will pay for your gas if he has to. When you get to hunting God, he gets easy to find. When you're willing to sell out, thank God, and get a hold of the hem of the garment and beg him for your people and your kind, he'll run the ocean dry to give you a drink.
Hallelujah.
I'm glad I'm saved. Great God. My pastor come by and got me. I know there's something bad wrong. He said, we're going to associational meeting. And I said, and I was familiar with that. I mean, I was in that liberal church. Boy, they're association folk. Hey, it was. And I said, I'll go with you. And I went and they talked and they had business meeting and they talked. And they had business meeting and they talked. And two or three of them tried to preach in the afternoon. It is the custom that they let the newest pastor in the association preach the first afternoon message. And he got up and had suspenders on. And he said, I want to preach on a place of refuge. And he started. And he started cutting off steaks about that thick and handing them to me. And I was eating them and ready for another before he got them cut. And I said, this is what I've been looking for. Amen. They started out with him, but about after 10 minutes, one but me and one other old man with him. Hallelujah! I believe if you got your name on the roll, there's a hunger in you. You show me somebody that's afraid of old-time worship, and I'm going to get worried about whether they've got God in their heart or not. I'm going to tell you, if you worship, you've got to worship in spirit and in truth. And worshiping in spirit and in truth is not reading poems and having Christmas trees and plays in the church. It's old-time Holy Ghost preaching and singing and glorifying God. Amen. Bless His holy name. I'm glad, thank God, I got a taste of this. And I'm yearning for more of it. And my name's on the roll. And lo and behold, it got a hold of the king. And all at once he said, I got to turn these people loose and let them go back to Jesus. Boy, I like that business. You get right and get to praying right, and the devil's going to lose his grip.
Amen.
He's got some of you tied down. Got you in his grip. And you kind of like it, you know, just to go to church and sit down. Your kids and grandkids will work on you and want to get home and watch the afternoon ball game and get about doing their business. And so you can go in and slip in the back, you know, and hear the preaching and say to one another, that is good, before you get home and go home and eat. And think you've done the Lord's will and you're a shame and a disgrace. But when you really get to wanting the Holy Ghost of God, the Lord will work on the devil. And if you want a real old-time church, you can find it.
Praise God.
All the preachers ain't dead. All the churches are not dead. I don't care what name is over the door. If they worship in spirit and in truth, you ought to cut some lines. I'm going to tell you tonight, find you a place that believes close to what you do and get it. You can church shop. My daddy went trading a time or two and come back carrying a bridle. And that's what a lot of people do when they go to church hunting and church swapping. They come back and ain't gotten it. That's exactly right. That's about what they find. But I'm going to tell you, if you really get to wanting it, you can, and the devil loses grip on you. I'm going to tell you, he can't keep you under bondage when it comes time for your release and you have prayed and God turns you loose. There's not anything the devil can do about it. Amen. Oh, I'm glad of that.
Yes, sir.
Now, preachers, I want you to listen to me. We're in a hole now in a backslidden state. All us preachers, and y'all know I'm talking right. And thank God there's some of men in here tonight that's as good of preachers as I've ever heard and will be here this week. A great man of God. I mean, more than 10 or 20 great men of God and some here tonight. But if you'd confess tonight and be clean before God, you're just a little backslidden. And you need to get back to where you were and get to digging again for the power of God and quit worrying so much about outlines and get to in line with the Holy Ghost and preach and kick sin. Amen. And tell that sorry bunch in Washington, D.C., Democrats and Republicans, they're a bunch of outlaws and thieves, and they ain't but one thing that'll carry it, and that ain't your vote. It's the power of God. Amen. Woo! Thank God. And he said, now I'm going to tell you what you do when you get started. He said, I'm going to get folks to help you. Said, they're going to give you gold and silver. That's all right, ain't it?
Yeah.
I'm going to tell you, there's some of you tonight, I don't know whether y'all believe in tithing or not. You believe in that, don't you?
Yes,
yeah, believe in tithing. Yeah. But now I want to tell you something. That's good. You ought to put at least 10% in the offering plate. At least 10%. But if I owe you a debt, brother, that's what we owe God's 10%. But you pay that, that don't show no love. If I owe you $10 and come pay it, you can't say, oh, brother, maybe love me. He paid me what he owed. No, I just done what I ought to. The law would get me. But if I borrow $10, ma'am, and I come say, I'm going to give you $15, brother. Just, you know, another $5 just because I love you and want to help you and you've been good to me. Wouldn't that be something? If you just give up 10%, that's what you owe him. And if you don't pay him, you're a thief. And a man, I'm going to tell you, and a man that will rob God, a man that will rob God, rob you or anybody else. Y'all may run me off, but I'm going to tell you that. You see, you can't go back to Judah. You can't go back to Judah until you pay your debt to God Almighty. In every way. Now, I know I done got out of bounds to some of you, but I'm still in the book. But I'm going to tell you what you really need to do. Come Sunday morning or just a little before Sunday morning, you need to get in the offering place. That's what God's really looking for. He's looking for you to get in the offering place. Wouldn't that be something? And say, Lord, I'm giving myself to you this morning.
Amen.
Absolutely. I'm not talking about the real offering plate. I'm talking about God's offering plate. You go to your prayer place and say, Lord, I'm getting in the offering plate. If I give it on Sunday morning, I don't ever see it no more. I don't have any control over it. I can vote on it, but it don't really make any difference. And if you get in the offering plate, you won't vote on it. You won't say, Lord, now if you'll do this for me, I'm getting the offering plate. If you mean it, you just crawl in and say, use me however you want to, dear Lord.
Amen.
Yes. Amen. I'll tell you, when you get rid of that 10% business and go to giving thanks stuff to God, you're just paying your debt, but when you pass that, if you try that, you'd say, this is something real.
Amen. Yeah.
You preachers, I'm trying to help you. You ought to get with me. Thank God tonight. He'll do things for you if you'll get to where you want to be. Y'all is with me till I got all that money business, but I don't care about your money. I'm going to tell you, I care about you getting an offering plate. If you're going to go back, there's some things you're going to have to do, and you're going to have to give yourself to God and to His cause and His way. Amen. I'm glad I'm saved tonight. Thank God I got saved. I got saved all the way. I didn't just get saved part of me. I got saved all the way. And I gave myself to God that morning down there on the hillside. And I've tried to back out of it a few times. But I'm going to tell you, God put the skids on me and put me in a backslidden condition. And I run back to Him and said, I'll pay up if you'll bless me again. They got down there and cross the river. I'll get off that line, you get back to me. And they came to him and to him and said, now you need some help in the way. We'll give you some soldiers to go with you. And he said, you know, after we had told them how big our God was, after we'd bragged on him how he could do anything, we was ashamed to ask him for his soldier. He said, after all how we had bragged and told them down through these 70 years, our God's a great God and full of mercy, and he's a warrior God, and he can do anything. We'll be afraid to ask for him. But I'm going to tell you, if that's so, you don't have to holler at Nashville Bush to come sing. You don't have to sing Dolly Parton songs. You don't have to deal with the outside world. How to help build a church and make it spiritual. Your grandpa and grandma didn't. You don't have to have dancers and get people to crank it for you on Sunday morning. And we'll live right. God will crank it. Amen. Woo! I'm a longing for the hills of Judah again. When it rings with the sound of the people of God. Just because they're happy to be children of the Lord. I hear people stand up and say, I'm just so happy this morning. We've got our house paid for, and I just praise your name. And somebody would say, well, my daughter's got out of the hospital, and she and I just praise his name for that, and that's all good. You ought to give him praise. But she ought to just some Sunday morning said, I really can't think of anything this morning, but I just won't have a fit because I'm saved. Just because I got born into the family of God one blessed day, I'm glad I'm in. Bless His name. I don't have to get out of the hospital and the insane asylum. Thank God just to know it. I'm born again and headed for home. Woo! Woo! God over there now. Got all that timber, and gave them timber. Kept all the enemies off of them. Now I'm going to tell you, it wasn't without trouble. They had trouble when they got over there, and they laughed at them and scorned them and at their building. But there come a day. I'm going to tell you, in one place, when they got that thing done, and that temple, you know, one of them places, them old men shouted because they remembered, so thinking how it had been. And there's others just shouting for the beauty of it. Glory to God. Glory to God. You know what the first thing they done when they got out there and figured out what it's going to take to get everything back like it was? One of them got out on a beast and rode in the night by himself and got to looking at the walls. But you know the first thing they done? They built the house of God and built an altar. Oh, tonight for altars, for families, for mamas and daddies, that it get back to old time praying again. She said, I heard an old lady named Triplett in North Carolina, Lenore, North Carolina. She said, me and daddy got married, and she said, the first night that daddy's working down in the bottoms there and came in, and he had a great big rock, and I said, honey, what in the world are you doing? He said, I'm bringing it in the house. He said, we don't need that in the house. I said, oh, yeah, we do. Brought that in there and laid it down in front of, I believe she said, in front of the fireplace. And said, that's going to be our altar right there. We're going to raise our children around this big rock and glorify God. And that old woman, that old man is dead. She said, well, she said, that's, things have come and gone. She said, we got a storm in that country, and we ran out of wood, and nobody gave us wood. And we was trying to heat with anything we could get a hold of. And she said, me and Daddy went and got on our rock and got to praying for help. And she said, the wind got to blowing. And she said, I believe every pine cone in that country was drifted up again our house. When we got done praying, we just went to gathering them and burning them.
Amen.
And she said, the kids, children's gone, some of them. And she said, we've had hard times and good times and hard times. Sometimes we had enough to eat and sometimes we didn't, but we still got our rock.
Amen.
And she said, Daddy's gone. I believe she said one or two of the kids are gone now. But she said, I've still got my rock. And that old woman did a holy dance in that altar there in that big church. And danced like a 12 or 15 year old girl. You say, wonder about that. I think it's the rock. And you know the only way for us to have revival again is anything that's new is not true. And anything that's true is not new, and anything that's new is not true. We don't need new stuff.
Amen.
We don't need new Bibles. We don't need anything but what we've had down through the centuries. Are you all hearing this old wore out preacher tonight? Thank God we can go back if we want to. If I was hearing I was a preacher tonight, I'd check myself up. And if I was that much backslid, I'd get in that altar and say, Lord, I want to get back where I was. If I was a mama in here tonight and I used to shout and quit, if I used to sing in the choir and wave my hands and I'd kind of quieten down, I'd bow down between the seats, get in the altar tonight, and some of you big old stalwart men work like work horses and come in the house of God and fold your arms and sit down and never do anything, I'd be ashamed. And you know your mom and daddy's prayed for you and you're further away from God than what you used to be. You ought to pray tonight. You say, preacher, you're trying to make us mad. Anything that'll make you get in the altar. And I wonder about where you are tonight. I want to ask y'all something tonight. I just want to ask you, and I want you to respond to me. I'm going to give an invitation in a minute. I want you to listen to what I'm saying. When I give an invitation tonight, will you just be honest with God about where you are? And if He touches you, will you respond to it? I ain't asking you. Would you do that? Would you raise your hand on that? And if God touches you, I'm being honest, you know, about it. I mean, if you don't come to this altar, it ain't none of my business. It's between you and God. But tonight, if He touches you and says, you know, you need to get closer. We believe in this old time. We say we do. I've asked y'all before, y'all believe in shouting? How many of you do? Okay. How many of you do it? Oh, wait a minute now. Help us, O Lord. Help us, O Lord. Help us, O Lord. Have you got enough to shout about? Has He done enough for you that it'd make you want to jump and holler? Thank God! Glory to His name! Everybody stand, Brother Jones or whoever, would you sing tonight? You said you'd be honest if God deals with you, that you need to draw nigh to God. Would you come tonight in these aisles and altars and pray and say, Lord, I want to come to You. I want to get out of the condition I'm in. Whoa, I know I'm not dealing with outlaws, just folk that need the power of God in their lives again. pray what you pray.